Hello, everybody, and welcome to Grim Scenarios. But before we get started today, you might be wondering, Milk, why are you here? And the answer is, I want to talk to you all about something special that's happening for Clock Tower Con 2024. As you can see, I've got my super cool Clock Tower Con 2023 hoodie on. And this year, Clock Tower Con is going to be supporting Extra Life with a charity auction. The auction is going to be starting Friday, April 12th at 10 a.m. and bidding closes on Sunday, April 14th at 8:30 p.m. The cool part is you don't have to be attending the con to participate in the auction. And you can go check it out right now at clocktowercon.com/extralife. And as an added bonus, Emma and I have decided to participate by contributing to the auction. Emma and I, Grim Scenarios, have put up a chance to appear as a guest on our podcast. So you'll have a chance to win the auction, to join us for an episode of the podcast, select some characters that we'll talk about, and either try to solve one of our clever puzzles or create a clever puzzle of your own for us to solve. So please go and check out the auction, again, in support of a great cause, Extra Life. And I can't wait to see all of you at the con. Bye. Oh yeah, don't go away. Stick around. The episode's next.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Grim Scenarios, episode something-something. This is our Sumner release episode. Milk, we haven't done this in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a little bit, and it's an interesting character that I think bears a little bit of talking about.
Yeah, so for those of you who haven't heard about the Sumner yet, if this is your first introduction, that's wild. The Summoner is a brand new minion. It was released by TPI and NRB jointly. It is... Sorry, I'm just lost trying to find the actual token text. I clicked the wrong tab completely. It is... You get three bluffs. On the third night, choose a player. They become an evil demon of your choice. Square brackets. No demon. So, effectively, what that means is the evil team loses one night of killing from the normal pace, because they can't act night two for murdering. And on the first 2 days, they're down a teammate in a vote, which is a big deal. It makes the summoner, the evil team, particularly vulnerable those first 2 days, because effectively they have one active ability those first 2 days. That's the poisoner's ability, or the other minion's ability.
But the benefit is substantial, right? Yeah. Like, the benefit that you get in exchange is pretty substantial. You get to pick which of the demons on the script you want to put into play, which can be a big deal depending on the script. And it also means that you get to understand the state of the Grim when you choose who's going to become the demon, which can also be a valuable tool.
And that's both mechanically and socially, you get to understand the state of the Grim, which is a big deal. Because knowing both the mechanics of where you might want to put the demon for whatever reason is important, as is knowing sort of who is town trusting right now, who is town thinking about is the kill, and also who is town thinking is not going, who is town thinking might get summoned, because you may want to throw a current blow and put it on a player who town isn't interested, who town thinks is suspicious, because they'll go, well, no one would have summoned them if they figured out it's a summoned game.
Yeah, and I think there's some demons that this works really, really well with, and I think there are a few demons that it doesn't work as well with for various reasons. And I think we might see some of those interactions on this script, in fact, so we can maybe talk about that when we get there.
This is, of course, we do these with the release script that TPI puts out to sort of help introduce you to the characters. The release script for this, for the Summoner, is called One Quiet Night. It's by The Good Couch, which I literally don't know who is the good couch. I assume it's not an actual sentient couch.
I actually do know who it is. It's Ed Patterson Jams.
Ah. Interesting. Yep.
So their take on what the summoner wants in game with it is interesting. I do think some of the ideas here are really probably you're going to see a lot of in summoner script or scripts that are built specifically for the summoner. Some of it I'm curious about why they added it. So it's an interesting mix of things here.
Yeah, these scripts are like a super interesting thing because on the one hand they're to be loaded into the online app so that people can have a pre-built script to use with the summoner or whatever the release character is, but they're also meant to almost be sort of one-off scripts to show off the summoner for a stream audience for the first time. And those are actually countervailing goals, which is, I think, one of the reasons these scripts sometimes aren't the most replayable.
Yeah, and I think it's okay for these scripts to have some imperfect interactions. Every script is going to have problematic interactions, as we've said before. Every script is going to have some imperfect interactions. This is a good way for us to see some of the ways in which Summoner can work well, and Summoner might have some challenges on a script.
Exactly.
One thing I think is very important to remember about the Summoner, is that it's possible that evil is not going to get a knight to kill. There might not be an assassin in play. The gossip might not kill someone. So it's entirely possible to go into night three with only one or two players dead. That might be ideal for a summoner in some cases. But if that's the case, evil probably needs some sort of catch-up ability to make up that missing death. So that's something else we might talk about as well.
Yeah, so the summoner obviously, like, it's trading some early game vulnerability for some later game power is basically how you should think about the summoner for evil. Despite what nothing saying this on the token text, just because there's no demon in play doesn't mean good automatically wins on those first 2 days, obviously. That's, I think, something that should be obvious because otherwise the character just would be too broken to exist. But in case you're wondering, even though good has technically met its win conditions for the first 2 days, and there's nothing like the atheist clause that says it, the game isn't immediately over and the good team wins. However, if the summoner for any reason is dead or drunk when it's supposed to be acting on night three, the game is over and the good team wins, because at that point there's no summoner ability on night three, and there will never be a demon in play.
And it might seem like a vulnerability that the summoner, you know, can just die and end the game for evil, but objectively it's not that much different than the demon just getting killed on, you know, day one or day two. It's sort of the same.
So yeah. So we're going to switch up our normal order. We normally would do good then evil, but we're going to start with evil here today. First, Milk is going to be the summoner, and we're going to be doing this a little bit differently than we normally do, but it's going to be the same sort of thing. So, Milk, we're just going to speed run through the first 2 days. I'm going to tell you some things you learned, some things other players told you, some things you know about the Grim, and then we will go from there, and we'll just talk sort of through at length what you're thinking of on night three when you make your choice, because we do like to focus on the strategic choices for an evil player and an evil team. And with the summoner, there's really only one decision point, and that's who am I going to make my demon on night three? So we're not going to do a lot of the simulated game stuff on the first 2 days. We're just going to speed through to night three pretty briskly.
There maybe is a choice in like what bluff you're going to take or, you know, how you're going to try to interact with players, but we can't really simulate that in a meaningful way.
Okay. So, Milk, talking about your bluffs, on night one, you woke up and learned that your fellow minion is in seat one, and you already knew this because you had the summoner token, so you knew there was going to be no demon, but when you woke up with seat one, they also noted that there was no demon. The storyteller showed this is the demon card and shook their head no. I don't know if that's what the How to Read actually says, but that's probably all how I'll do it to prevent confusion for minions who aren't the summoners to make sure they understand no demon, that's intentional.
Yeah, that seems like a good way to make sure of it. We should probably hop after the grip.
Yeah. So you're up here in seat number 12. Your poisoner, your fellow minion is in seat 1.
Yeah, I put poisoner down. I didn't know it was a poisoner, but I assumed.
Well, I have accidentally said the word poisoner twice.
Yeah.
So it was like I was staring at your fellow minion's token and referring to minion as poisoner for some reason.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
So that's
sense.
Just, that'll be a freebie for you. You learned your fellow minion is a poisoner.
I mean, we'll message it first thing in the it's fine.
Yeah. So I'm also going to tell you what your three bluffs are, because the summoner does learn three bluffs. And that is actually, of course, the first decision point for the summoner. So your three bluffs are savant, noble, and innkeeper.
Cool.
So sort of tell me what you're thinking when you get those three bluffs as the summoner.
All right. So just looking at the script, one of the things I notice is that there's an undertaker on the script, which means that there's a possibility that good may want to kill you start knowing roles and expended roles to gain information. Good's probably going to have a little difficulty tracking down evil players here. There's not tons and tons of info. So probably taking noble isn't the bluff that I want. The other minion might want that bluff, but noble's not a great bluff for me.
Okay.
Savant is a good bluff that usually keeps you alive for a couple of days. Generally, getting more savant information is something town is up for, and since savant information can be hard to track over multiple days of the game, it's not quickly solved. Savants don't have to give out all of their information. They're not really expected to give all their information all at once. So that makes it a very, very good minion bluff. So I would certainly think about that here in general. However, I bluff Savant as an evil player all the time. And as the summoner, I need to find a way to live to day 3. So I'll probably take the innkeeper bluff. The innkeeper bluff allows me to at least cast some doubt on the fact that it's a summoner game, and I can always claim things that an innkeeper would claim and then fall back into innkeeper later. My survival after day 3 is not relevant, crucially. That's what matters. I just need to get to day 3. Innkeeper or Savant are both fine bluffs to try to get to day 3. Me personally, I'd probably go innkeeper here to try to manipulate the town a little bit.
Yeah. Now, the risk, of course, with innkeeper is that if people think it is a summoner game, they may look at some of these protection rules and go, huh. Especially on that day 2 where maybe there's no deaths, and they go, well, if we want to snipe the summoner day 2, maybe we kill one of these protection rolls and see if they're the summoner hiding behind a protection bluff.
Yeah, I'm likely not going to claim the protection roll on day 1, and I may lightly hint at it on day 2, but I'm probably not ever going to claim it until I use my ability. I don't want to seem killable early. Like I said, Savant is a great bluff for a minion. I just wouldn't take it personally. It's just not one I would take personally. And like I said, I can always fall back into innkeeper.
All right, so we have Milk suggesting he wants to lean innkeeper for his summoner bluff. So he's going to fall into this bluff does things that align with my minion character, which is a valid bluffing strategy.
Mm-hmm.
It's one, like I said, that sometimes can get meta. I've had people rightly assume that a particular evil player is the witch, for example, because they're claiming town crier on sex and violence, and they're like, witch cares about nominations, town crier cares about nominations, it's the natural minion bluff for the witch. So it's something you can use to your advantage sometimes too. But it's also, you are risking sort of that meta call players might make where they go, you're taking the bluff that lines up with what your minion ability wants to do anyway. Maybe you're just your minion ability.
Yeah. And it's really hard with summoner, right? Because you really just do one thing. And you need to survive to do it. So, you know, bluffs like Saint are going to be things that you might want to take. You might want to You might want to give that to the demon, though. Like, you know, you don't know what role the demon has, or the person who you're going to turn into the demon has, necessarily. You may want to save, reserve one of the bluffs for them. You need to be adaptable to the situation, right? You could claim any of these. Again, they all have different utility. I think I'd hand Noble off to the Poisoner here, or to the other minion here, just because I would prefer them to be the more expendable one. And then I would float somewhere in the Savanting Keeper realm.
Okay.
Yeah. Innkeeper's a good bluff for a Poisoner too, right? Because it does the drunkening and like there's some utility there too. But again, just me claiming Savant, you know, me claiming Savant again as an evil, probably not the best choice.
All right. Well, you wake up on day one after having learned your bluffs and started your game plan. Like I said, we're just going to sort of speed through these days, so I'm just going to sort of tell you some things that happened. You talk to Seed One, who I know this is going to shock you, but they tell you that you're a poisoner, and they
poison. What a surprise.
Seed Three, you gave them the bluffs of Noble and said, I'm not sure whether I'm taking Innkeeper or Savant yet, so Noble's definitely the free bluff that's available for you. Poisoner said, great, I'll put some Noble pings out there. You also talked to that day with Seed H, who told you they were the acrobat, and they weren't sure what it would mean if they died night two on a summoner script. They don't know if that would be the evil team using a poisoner as an assassin to get rid of them or not, try to hide the summoner. But they did think they should tell someone so that they wouldn't be catching everyone off guard later.
Okay. That's a player I might consider claiming Innkeeper to, and then telling them that I will pick away from them.
Okay.
That's a thing I would consider.
You talked to Seat 5, who claimed to be the soldier.
Okay.
And you talked to Seat 4 towards the end of the day, and they said they were the artist who had already used their question.
All right. Do they share the question?
They do not. And you talked to Seed 6, who said they just wanted to be upfront about it. They were claiming saint. They wanted everyone to know that they were the saint, and you could do with it as you will.
All right.
On nominations that day, there was a bunch of gossips. Like a lot of gossiping, a lot of them seemed just sort of silly, but you did perk up your ear to a few of these gossips. I'll tell you that Seed 2 gossiped that a chef would get a 1. Seat 7 gossiped that it was not a summoner game. And Seat 10 gossiped that neither Undertaker nor Farmer were in play. Seat 3 said they didn't particularly want it to be summoned later in the game, and they were the librarian who had seen a drunk, so they just sort of wanted to be Undertaker checked to see if that was true, if they were the librarian or if they were the drunk. At which point Seat 11 said, well, it's sort of annoying for the Undertaker that you've just said your role and say you want to be Undertaker check, so I think for the Undertaker's sake, we might want to kill someone else. And after a few nominations that went back and forth, eventually Seat 9 nominated Seat 7, saying double claim, and that got exactly 6 votes.
All right.
And Seat 7 was executed and died.
So, interesting. Seat 7 and Seat 9 in a double claim. Just rate that double claim 7.
You did learn something today, which may or may not be true, which of course was that Seat 8 claimed to you that they were the acrobat, and you're of course sitting next to your poisoner.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any inclination to tell your poisoner to try to pseudo-assassin kill that acrobat?
I would probably not do that. The first reason is I don't know who else the Acrobat told that they were the Acrobat. The second is I don't think in this particular script especially, I don't think I care to try to create a false demon world.
Okay.
And an Acrobat dying isn't necessarily going to seem like a false demon world anyway. There's gossips that could be true. The Seat 7 isn't going to, their gossip's not going to go off because they're dead. There is a Chef 1, so Seat 2's gossip is a little bit dangerous, but could cause a kill. And Undertaker Farmer not in play, that's probably not true. So, I mean, that's probably a false one. So, so really, it's just this Chef 1 gossip that's worrisome. And if they do think it's a summoner, you know, there's plenty of people around that are claiming things that could be the summoner.
Okay.
So I might let the poisoner know and leave it up to their discretion, but I don't particularly think we need to push that right now.
Okay. Well, you wake up and you learn that no one died in the night.
Yep. Okay.
So no deaths on night two. What does that sort of tell you about the game state?
So what that means is a couple of things. The first thing is that obviously my poisoner did not poison someone next to an acrobat, whether C-Date is the acrobat or not, right? The poisoner didn't poison someone next to an acrobat. It means, let's see, what else do I need to know? It means we're behind a kill because we didn't make that kill last night. We still have the opportunity to double up on it at some point, either through Poisoner Pucca Nodashi or, I guess that's basically it, but through Poisoner Pucca or Nodashi. It also means that the gossips were false, which means that Seat 2 is either not the gossip or was poisoned. I'll find out from the poisoner, probably in a text whisper, who they poisoned. But if Seat 2 wasn't poisoned, then there's either no gossip in play or Seat 10 gossiped something that's false. So that means Undertaker or Farmer is in play. Undertaker or Farmer is in play, so that means there's a Farmer hidden somewhere, potentially, or there's an Undertaker. That means okay. Seat 11 or 2... is there's an Undertaker or a Farmer between Seat 11 and Seat 2, most likely.
Okay, Seat 1 tells you that they, in fact, poisoned Seat 2 because they were scared of that gossip.
Okay, cool. So, Seat 1 poisoned, this could be the gossip. We don't know, but that means that Seat 10 or 11 is probably an that could still be the gossip. Seat 10 is probably just like making a vague vague two of Undertaker or Farmer or something. Not sure what that's
okay.
Sure what that's about. I think Seat 9 and Seat 7 might be a pixie pair of some kind. Could be something else. But...
All right. You go and talk to Seat 2 today, who tells you they're not the gossip, but they are the empath who has had a zero both nights.
Empath who has a zero both nights. So that's interesting. If that's an empath who's had a zero both nights, and the drunk poisoned the librarian the first night, then I know that this empath is probably the drunk or is just a liar. Which means okay. that one of Saint... this doesn't have Sentinel, right?
It does have Sentinel.
It does have Sentinel. Okay, so yeah, so it could be that one of the Acrobat or Saint is lying.
Okay, you then talk to Seat 11, who tells you that they are the Undertaker, who saw Seat 7 as the Monk.
Okay, Undertaker saw Seat 7 as the Monk.
And you talk that day with Seat 9... who says they are the pixie who feels bad about killing the monk who they were a pixie confirming.
Yeah, seems likely, right? That was something that was pretty clear. Okay. Interesting.
All right. That day, there are once again a few gossips that perk your ears. They just seem more serious than a lot of the shenanigan gossips, and we're not going to go through all the shenanigan gossips.
Mm-hmm.
So C2, once again, gossips in what you think is could be a serious time, even though they told you they were an empath with a zero, that they say they gossip that there is currently no demon in play. C4 gossips that there is a mare in play, and C10 also gossips that there is a mare in play.
Interesting.
And you, of course, have not talked to a mare, but that's not unsurprising. You rarely get to talk to everyone in the first 2 days.
Yeah, I've put a mare token on C10, but it could be C4 is the mare claiming artist. Unsure about that. All right. I mean, I don't particularly care for my poisoner to poison C2. Either they're the drunk empath or they're the gossip, and I'm fine for the gossip to get a kill tonight because it's meaningless if the gossip gets a kill. So this is a little bit of weak gossip because the information will no longer be useful to the good team at this point. Yeah.
Well, it can hide. It can help figure out whether it's an evil team that's trying to simulate something or to hide the existence of another
minion.
That's
fair. I mean, the empath's going to get a kill, but like it also opens up Pukka for me as the summoner, which is nice. So,
okay.
If it's real.
Well, things don't go great for you at the nomination phase. C10 nominates Seat 1 and says, Seat 1 gave me noble things that I just don't believe. They said that they were on Seat 9, Seat 7, and Seat 11. And from my understanding is those three players are basically in a confirmation chain. Like, it just strikes me as weird that Seat 1 would get a spy at best plus 2 good players. I'd like to see what our Undertaker sees on this Seat 1. Would you do anything there to try to save Seat 1?
No. Seat 1's expendable. Yeah, Seat 1's not the demon, right? At the moment, I'm the demon, right? I'm holding the potential demon that can come into play. So as that party that's responsible, I'm perfectly willing to sacrifice Seat 1 here. In fact, if it gets to me with 5 votes, I'm probably putting the 6th vote on Seat 1.
Okay, well, things go as they do, and Seat 1 is executed and dies.
Yeah, that's fine for me, because that means I'm not being executed.
Okay. So, here we are at the night 3, the summoning night. And there's fun little reminder tokens that you can place down each night for the summoner to let you, as the storyteller, remember what night it is. So it is night 3 now, which is, of course, the night of the summoning.
Mm-hmm.
So you've gathered a good amount of information about this Grim, right?
Yep.
Can you just tell me what your current thought is for what each player is?
Yeah. I'll find out tomorrow whether Seat 2 is the drunk empath or if Seat 2 is the gossip. Because C2 gossiped something that is provable, like that I know the answer to. C10 is probably not the gossip gossiping that there's a mayor in play. And C4 is probably not the gossip gossiping that there's a mayor in play. One of the two of them is likely the mayor. I'm not sure which is which. I have the librarian in C3. They came out. I know that they were poisoned and saw a drunk somewhere. I don't know where they saw a drunk, but probably not on the drunk themselves. Seat 4 can be the artist. They could be the mayor. There could be a role swap or something going on there. Not sure about Seat 4. Somewhere between Seat 4 and 10 is likely a mayor. There might be a farmer. The other one might be a farmer. Let's see. That makes Seat 5 the soldier claim. Again, don't know if that's a real soldier claim or if that's something else. Seat 6 is a saint claim. Seat 7 is a dead monk. Seat 8 is an acrobat claim. Seat 9 is a pixie claim. Seat 10 is the other of the potential Schrodinger's mayor. and then seed 11 seems to be the Undertaker.
Okay.
And I'm, of course, the summoner.
Right.
Now, that's based on what everyone said. That's not based on social reads. You know, that's not based on trying to look beneath the surface.
And we, of course, were simulating a lot of this much quicker than we normally do, so we could get to a sort of longer discussion about what you do on your summoning.
Yeah, and that's a much harder question.
So, what players are you considering summoning the Demon Lord to?
So, the first step before that is probably going to be thinking about what demon I want to summon.
That could depend on what you think is in play and who you're summoning, right?
It's a two-part question. Like, you might look at what demon you're going to summon and then look at places where you can summon them. You might look at what players are the most likely to survive till late in the game and then try to balance that out. And then you can, you know, aggressively push on players, later in the game. You know, there's a lot of options. I think the first thing to look at is which of these players are likely to survive and which of these players are likely to be suspected of being a summoner target. So Soldier and Saint are both good bluffs for evil anyway. I don't expect Seat 5 to make it to the end of the game. I think Seat 5 on a Soldier claim is likely to get killed at some point by the town. Seat 6 is likely to survive longer, but might get killed in Final 3 as the suspected summoner, summoned demon. Seat 9, the Pixie, is a kind of slightly confirmed character, like in a pretty good confirmation chain with 11 and 7. So that might be useful information. 11 is the Undertaker, but unless we think we have a really clean Grim here, getting that Undertaker bluff to work is going to be tricky for the evil team. So that's, again, another kind of questionable one. I don't know what's going on with Seat 4 and Seat 10 specifically, so I don't know how suspicious they are. I'm probably going to avoid them. Honestly, the librarian that saw a drunk because they were poisoned on day one might be a good shout because they might just kind of get forgotten about later in the game. Like, they're just a librarian who saw a drunk. They might just be the drunk. You know, it is a good bluff for evil to claim to be the librarian who saw a drunk, but that's kind of a useful spot. So I'm leaning right now into potentially summoning into Seat 3 or maybe Seat 11. Now, there's some things that can cover players getting false information because Vortox is on the script. The Undertaker might be able to get away with seeing the wrong thing on people later in the game, especially if we make a Vortox. You know, that can be kind of useful. Or we might be able to cast suspicion on someone being a Nodashi. So right now I'm thinking about making Seat 3 or Seat 11 into the demon.
Okay. And what demon are you considering for them?
So I think the strongest demon here, let's take them in order, actually. So the first demon in the list here is Pukka. Pukka is a hard demon to summon because it's not going to kill on the summoning night, which is going to potentially tip off town that there's a Pukka in play. Might not. There are protection rolls on the script, so it's possible that the demon hit a protection roll. But it's tricky. Now, if we think we're going to get a gossip kill, if we think C2 actually is the gossip and is lying about being the empath, maybe we get a gossip kill and that covers the Pukka. But I don't think it is such. Nodashi is really traceable, but there are a lot of abilities here that are probably worth canceling out. The Soldier's ability is one we might want to cancel out with poison. The Mayor's ability, if we know where it is, might be one that we want to cancel out with poison. The Undertaker's ability, if it gets poisoned, is probably going to lead town to find the Nodashi very quickly. So right now, it's not necessarily what I want to use the demon for. Also, if I put the demon token on one of these characters that is difficult to deal with, I'm also eliminating their ability. If I put the demon on a mayor, if I put the demon on a soldier, then they're not going to use their ability because their ability no longer exists because they're a demon. I think Imp is the strongest of the demons that are on this script for me to make in a vacuum in general. The Imp being able to pass back the token to someone else if they do start to become suspicious, the Imp being able to pass when they're, you know, trusted and hand out false information all of a sudden after their other information looks good. Again, that's powerful. Like if I turned the Undertaker in seat 11 into the Imp, and then they give out one day of false information pointing somewhere else to be an evil player, you know, then they can maybe pass back to me and maybe I can get through to the end of the game. So Imp is normally good, but again, we're already down an evil player, so we probably need to do something strong here. Vortox is an interesting play because it's almost more useful to have it as a potential character in the game. Nothing here still is going to get information. The artist is apparently spent. They're not going to get to make a Vortox. They're not going to get to do a Vortox question. So we might be able to fake Vortox in an interesting way here. So that's what I kind of think about each of the demons. If I'm going to make a Pucca, which I think deals with the threats very efficiently, but has the downside of not getting to kill tonight when we're already behind. If I'm going to make a Pucca, I'm probably going to put it on seat 11 and try to fake a Vortox game. If I'm going to make a Nodashi, it can't go anywhere that it will trigger the... it can go places where it can trigger the Acrobat. That's a possibility. So it could go on the soldier or on the pixie, and we get an Acrobat kill tonight. But that might just point town directly at the Nodashi. Like I said, I don't want to make an Imp. So I think it's between Pucca and Vortox here. I kind of don't want to bring a Vortox into play. I kind of want to fake a Vortox. So from that perspective, I think I'm going to make a Pucca in seat 11. It is, I think, the weakest of the demons to create here, but I think there's some room for us to do things with it.
Okay, so Pucca in seat 11.
I think I'm
going to
put a Pucca in seat 11. Yeah. I think it's the most interesting choice to make. You know, I know it's a strategy. I know it's a strategy podcast, but Emma is the strategy part and I'm the comedy part. This is probably funny. So.
No. I'm the comedy part.
Oh, I'm the strategy part? Oh, wow. We have really, boy, we're down the wrong rabbit hole here, everybody. Yeah, let's go with Pucca in seat 11 and see what happens.
All right. So you wake up and you learn that seat 8 has died in the night.
But seat 9 has died in the night, right?
Seat 9, yes, that's what I said.
Cool. Okay, interesting. So there is a...
No, that's not what I said, but it is the token I fetched
intentionally.
Yeah.
So there is a gossip somewhere. So it could be that this mayor pair is actually a mayor and a gossip who have decided to confirm the mayor. That's a really weird thing to do, but okay. Or right. The gossip is in seat 2 and they gossip that it's a summoner game.
Okay.
I think that's more
like. So on the seat 11, and you were going to talk today as just a closeout of the scenario, so seat 11 can share what they know about the Grim with you.
Yeah.
And vice versa. Seat 11, you and seat 11 go talk, and I don't know if you choose to mess with them first, which you could, but eventually this conversation resolves with you telling them that you summoned them into the Pucca and them staring daggers at you.
Uh-huh.
They tell you that they were the artist in a role swap with seat 4, the Undertaker. And in a panic, they poisoned C4 last night.
I mean, that's fine.
Yeah. They're worried that Seat 4 will know it's them now that they think about it because no one else knew about the role swap. But is what it is.
I mean, why would that suggests it's not them, because why would a summoner summon a demon onto a role that's objectively going, yeah, why would a summoner summon a Pukka onto an Undertaker, right? Like, that, why would you summon a demon onto an Undertaker that is gonna not have good information going forward with a public Undertaker claim who should probably die?
They say that in their understanding, the real gossip is actually in C10.
Interesting.
Which makes them think that last night was probably confirming the existence of a mayor somewhere. They don't know where.
Maybe in seat 2 or maybe in seat 5 or 6.
They go, yeah. They say seat 2 is claiming mostly Empath 0, which is obviously false if what you're telling me is what has actually happened in this game.
Yeah. They could be trying to get a mayor. They could be trying to bounce a mayor kill off them. I mean, it doesn't matter because the demon's now a Pukka, so that's great because that means that the Pukka can kill through mayors and potentially have a poisoned mayor go into final, so that's all right. We know that the mayor's probably 2 or 6, so that's okay.
And they tell you that, of course, they had earlier talked to Seat 4 to continue the role swap and learned that Seat 1 was seen as the drunk.
Seat 1 was seen as the drunk.
Yes.
Seat 1 was seen as the drunk by the Undertaker, who confirmed a monk in seat 7. Oh, right, because we killed the poisoner yesterday. Right. So they're poisoned out. Right. They're Pukka poisoned. Yeah. Brain works good sometimes. I say, did you use your artist question?
They go, no.
Great.
The plan for the role swap, they say, was that Seat 4 would bluff being the spent artist. I would be the real Undertaker getting good information. And then after the summoning went off, I would then go use the artist question once we had fewer demon candidates.
Yeah, so that's what you're going to do still, right? Like, you're still in on the plan?
Yep. They go, I guess, yeah. I can't pivot off this plan now. Now I have to go use my artist question at some point. But no, artist question.
I mean,
it's completely unused.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine, right? That's a powerful piece of information that town's not going to get, that we're going to turn to our advantage. You already have a stable bluff that you're already friends with you've already made a deal with the Undertaker, so that means they probably trust you, so they're not going to try to kill you to verify your role. You have a reason to want to stay alive, to try to use the ability late in the game. Your information can even be wrong because you can be Pukka poisoned in final 3. Like, this is ideal. This is actually worked out to be really great for us. We need to find the mayor. It could be in seat 2. It could be in seat 6. Those are the two likely places for it. You're never going to have to poison. Like, you're probably never going to have to poison seat 10 or seat 4. There's an acrobat in seat 8. You can just direct poison and kill them if you want. That's probably good for us. If they die from poisoning, I'm claiming innkeeper, so it could be something that I caught. Like, it could be that I've caused a death somehow. Like, you can frame me. Like, there's a lot of value here. We've actually gotten a lot of value out of our summoner pick onto what's essentially a once per game ability that hasn't been used. So this was actually, I think, this turned out to be a good pick, even though this wasn't what I intended.
All right.
I'm pretty happy with that pick.
We've gone about 40 minutes on this summoning scenario, talking about how Milk chose the Undertaker and then learned he chose the artist. We'll just go through the entire Grim now, because the scenario is ending and we're not going to continue with it. Seat 1 was, of course, Seat the Poisoner. Seat 2 was your farmer, bluffing Empath with the 0, but also making serious gossips, trying to draw a kill.
Oh yeah, I could have found that if I remembered that Seat 10 was probably the gossip, and their first gossip would have been true.
Seat 3 was the librarian who was poisoned night 1 and saw a drunk between seat 1 and seat 5, which was then jiggered to line up with the Pukka poisoned Undertaker, who saw the monk in seat 7 correctly and then saw the poisoner as the drunk.
Yep, that works.
Now, seat 5 was your mayor who was bluffing soldier to see if that could get him, just trying something to see if he could draw a kill.
Yeah, that was, I mean, the Soldier Claim is going to get him Pukka killed at some point, probably. Or maybe Sussed in the final three. Maybe Poisoned going into
Pukka's
three.
So Pukka can't kill soldiers.
Oh, right. Pukka can't kill soldiers. Right. So probably just gets him ignored until final three. Yeah, because we don't have the Poison anymore.
Yeah. Seat 6 is your Saint. Seat 7, your poor monk who was murdered by their pixie mercilessly so that the pixie could pretend to have the ability. The pixie was in seat 9, who I gossip killed because I don't want to deal with monk-Pukka interactions.
Yep, me either.
Seat 8 was your acrobat, who can be... The Pukka can 2-for-1 the acrobat at some point if you feel you need to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
Seat 10 was your gossip, who would gossip something they believed to be false day one, that there was no farmer and no undertaker in play because they had seat 11's undertaker claim and seat 2's farmer claim.
Mm-hmm.
Then they gossiped something was true on the night they expected a summoning to happen to see if they could get the double kill to get the mayor in play. Unfortunately for them, because you made a Pukka, it's not clear that their gossip went off.
Yep.
And seat 11 was the unspent artist who's now a Pukka.
Yeah, that worked out well for us. So maybe Pukka is actually a little bit better than I thought. But you do have to catch a little bit of luck. I did have to catch a little bit of luck there. I didn't think a gossip was necessarily going to go off.
Well, yeah, but one of the reasons you thought seat 2 might be the gossip and you wanted to know if their true gossip would go off. And that's one of the things Pukka can do is it can hide a true gossip.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's an interesting interaction. I don't know if it's a good interaction, but I think it's an interesting interaction.
Anyway, so that's our scenario one, thinking about how to play the summoner.
Yeah, let's take our short break, and then we'll do scenario two. Welcome back, everybody. We're going to go into scenario two here, and this is going to be our good scenario. And Emma is going to be playing as the artist in seat 1. And we're going to do a similarly shortened game. We're not going to go through everything here. But what I thought would be interesting is to see how Emma might use an ability like the artist, where you can kind of get this kind of one really solid piece of information. In a game that could be a summoner game.
Yeah. And, yeah. We may have tipped my hand on what I think about how to use the artist in a summoner game with that first scenario, when I had the artist hide who they were with the plan of trying to use their question after a summoning took off.
Mm-hmm. But it's possible that there might be, you might find reasons to use it sooner or
But I'm not.
Fair enough.
And I can explain why, but we'll talk about that more when we dive into the scenario.
Let's get into the scenario. So, Emma, you're the artist in seat. Okay, great. Yeah, good.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. It's not important. All right, Emma, of course, you're the artist, so you are not woken on night one. But you wake up, and of course, I, the storyteller, beloved by one and all, have died.
So you're beloved by one and all, why would they murder you?
Interesting question. Maybe we'll find out before the end of this game. And what would you like to do? We're gonna kind of move along through this one. But is there anything in particular that you're looking for or that you're thinking about when you talk to people to get information from them when there's a summoner on the script?
Yeah. So the first thing is one thing I'm not going to do is use my artist question today or tomorrow. And I can talk about why. Like, one of the summoner's strengths is information in Clock Tower is front loaded, right? So most scripts have some number of roles that they get their information once at the very start of the game. And even roles that get their information recurring throughout the game, that information tends to be more interesting and more useful the earlier in the game it happens. There's, like, for example, the Undertaker on this script, the Undertaker's most powerful knight for information is Knight 2, because as they move forward in the game, roles are basically already known and the confirmatory power of their ability lessens. that's all to say, information in Clock Tower is front-loaded. And one of the summoner's strengths is that it nullifies a bunch of that front-loaded information by sort of resetting the win con on day three. So, as the artist, I am specifically a flexible role. I can use my ability to get information early, but my information is just going to be outdated whenever if there's a summoner or something happens. So my goal here is just to survive 2 days and then use my artist question to get us some powerful townsfolk information post any potential summonings, post any potential resets of the game win conditions. So what I'm going to do is not use my ability yet.
So you're
but I
not,
am going to...
Just out of curiosity, yeah. you're not thinking about spending your artist question on the very first day to ask whether it's a Vortox game?
No, I'm not.
We've talked about that before.
Yeah, but like, you know, there's reasons to use your artist ability early on other scripts because the risk-reward of getting killed before you can use your ability versus the power you can get from... It's always powerful to get strong information later in a game. It's always powerful to do that. Like, there's whole characters derived around that concept. The king, for example, is derived around, can we create this character who gets extremely powerful information but is exceptionally fragile as their balancing mechanism and has to survive at least half the game to get anything? So there's risk rewards. Like, early information is the norm in Clock Tower. That's what the game is really balanced around. Late information is more powerful if you can get it off. So, like, I'm not besmirching going and using your artist question on day one. I'm just trying to get my artist question here used post-summoning. Now, what are things I'm looking for? There's some really powerful information in this game from the start, such as the noble, the librarian, the pixie, even the empath. So I might try to hunt down whether I think any of those roles are in play, so I can prepare on day three to ask questions about whether that information is still valid. Because learning that, for example, a noble thing that was valid on day one is not valid anymore on day three, extremely powerful. Learning, because that means that the summoning took off, it affected the noble ping somehow. And if it's not valid, it means that something didn't affect the noble ping. Same with, like, whether the empath zero from night one is still true on night three. That suggests the summoning happened there. So those are the sorts of things I'm looking for. I'm looking for if I can sort of duplicate and re-sort of strengthen some of this early game information that might become invalidated in the summoner game.
Interesting. Yeah, I like that. Because, of course, you can still ask a question about a player even if they have been turned into the demon, right?
Yeah.
You can still ask a question about a player's information, that is to say. Not about a player specific.
I don't know. Yeah, like, so let's say, for example, Seat 4 is the noble. And Seat 4 learned... We could do a normal thing, but I think this is almost even more interesting, so I'm just going to keep running for it unless he told me to stop.
Go for it.
So let's say Seat 4 is the noble and Seat 4 learned Seat 3, 9, and 8. Like, on day three, I can then go ask the storyteller, is C3, C9, and C8 a valid noble ping? Like, and even if it's Vortox, like, this is a question, and it's not like one of those cheap Vortox round questions. This is a question where, like, the Vortoxing... where the change will still matter for the Vortox. Like, if one of those players became evil such that it's now a valid noble ping, I get a no. If an extra one of those players became evil so it's no longer a valid noble ping, I'll get a yes. I guess it doesn't really do much for the Vortox. Strike that part. But, like, you can see what I'm thinking here. Like, And assuming not Vortox, if C3, C9, and C8... started the game as a valid noble ping because I believe Seat 4 is the noble, but on day 3 is no longer a valid noble ping, I've just locked down the summoning to one of three players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's extremely good information. If Seat 4 is the empath who started the game with a 0, I can ask, are seat 3 and seat 5 both currently good? And that locks down the summoning to one of two players, pre any Vortox shenanigans. Like, by focusing in on information that already existed and seeing if it's changed, I can do something really powerful with the artist's ability, even if, like, by figuring out what the change state is between this pre and post summoning period. That's just my thoughts. Anyway, let's run the scenario now.
Yeah, we can do the scenario now. All right, all right, Emma. So I'm going to give you a little bit of information from the first day. We're just going to kind of go through a few bits of information that you learn. The first is that you immediately talk to Seat 8, who claims to be the empath, and that they have a 0 on their neighbors. So you have Seat 8 is an empath, claiming to have a 0 on their neighbors on day 1.
Okay.
The next person you talk to is the player in seat 5. The player in seat 5 is hesitant about sharing their role, but says that they intend to gossip today to help cover any potential gossips.
Nice. We found the gossip.
Yep. Just put them down there as the gossip. All right. And then you also talk to seat 10, and seat 10 claims to be the innkeeper. They ask you whether you would like to be innkept.
I say, I'm a great innkeeper protection on tomorrow night.
Okay. Sounds great. I will innkeeper protect you tomorrow night if I am still alive.
Yep.
All right. Sounds good.
Or tonight, rather. Tonight.
Oh, you want to be innkeeper protected tonight. Okay. Great. And then I'm going to say that you also get a chance to chat with seat 7. And seat 7 tells you, I'm just going to be open about this because I think it's worth everyone knowing that I am the saint.
Coward.
I realize that makes me a potential summoner target, but that's tomorrow seat 7's problem, not today seat 7's problem.
And I told them, no, it doesn't make you a potential summoner target, it just makes you a coward.
Wild. Alright, Emma, town, of course, does have to kill someone on day 1, because it is a potential Vortox game, but there are a few gossips that I would like to clue you in on, which are seat 5 gossips that this is a summoner game, that there is a summoner in play.
Oh, why would you do that?
Seat 9 gossips, there is no summoner in play. Seat 12 gossips that no players are poisoned right now. Would you like to gossip, Emma?
No, I'm good. I'm already disappointed in these. This is a summoner game gossip.
Yes, it is very, very competent gossiping.
That is a gossip that literally does nothing for the good team.
Indeed, it is. How useful. All right. Nominations go around. There are a few nominations here and there, but Seat 9 volunteers themselves to die today. They say, if there's an Undertaker, I would really like to be checked. I'd like to die today. Town obliges them with that kill. And seat 9 is executed and dies, and everyone goes to sleep. And the following morning...
Oh, man. Sorry, I just had a completely unrelated thought about something I'm going to do in a future game as a storyteller now.
Would you like to share? No, probably not a great idea.
No, absolutely not.
You wake up the following morning to discover that the player in seat 6 has died in the night.
Great.
Completely useless for us. We'd have no way of knowing whether that's a demon killer or seed five making the worst. All right, I don't like to criticize things. Gossiping that there's a summoner play on day one of a summoner script. I'm not saying there's such a thing as bad plays. I am saying there's such a thing as plays that do not help the good team with your good ability.
Why isn't that a good gossip, Emma?
One of those things is gossiping that there is a summoner in play on day one of a game in a summoner script, because either your gossip is false and the demon, with their normal demon killing power, kills someone, or the gossip and one person dies, or the gossip is true and there's no demon, but one person dies because you gossip that there's a summoner in play. Either way, it looks exactly the same. So rather than getting information from your gossip, you're doing the opposite. You're getting no information from your gossip, which means the summoner, good, we know, it tells us literally, quite literally, nothing about the game on day one to make that gossip. On day two, it's a completely different story. Gossiping whether there's a summoner in play on day two gives you information because a demon killed someone, presumably on night three, because the summoner brought them in. And if there's the extra kill, you can work that in as a gossip explanation. But doing it on day one, when there's not going to be a demon kill in a summoner game anyway, and if there isn't a summoner, there's a demon kill, so it just looks exactly the same either way, is not using your gossip to gain information. It's using your gossip to do nothing. So,
sounds like the player in seat five would have benefited from listening to Grim Scenarios, a Blood on the Clock Tower strategy podcast.
So, hopefully seat five isn't actually the gossip. Hopefully they're just someone who was doing the classic, I don't want to sim my rule, but I'm going to gossip to cover the gossip thing, without being the gossip for the first time in the history of gossips.
Mm-hmm.
But if they are the gossip, I'm disappointed in this character, in this fictional person who is pretending to be seat five.
Fair.
I don't even like criticizing plays, but come on, folks. Don't gossip something that doesn't matter whether it's true or false on day one of a summoner script.
Fair enough. I'm going to give you a few more pieces of information, Emma, because I think it can be pretty useful. The first thing I'm going to tell you is that you do get a chance to talk to C9, because it's important to talk to dead players.
It is. You want to include dead players in the game.
And the player in seat 9 says they are the librarian who has seen a drunk. And they have seen that drunk between the player in seat 2. Let's put the pings out here. And the player in seat 5.
Great.
So,
are you Undertaker confirmed by any chance?
So the librarian says, well, you're the first person I've talked to today, but I'm sure if I hear of an Undertaker, I'll let everyone know right when we get to nominations.
Okay.
All right. See you later. All right. You also get a chance to talk to your friend in seat 4. And your friend over in seat 4 says, hi, Emma. I know this is going to be very exciting for you. I am the Tinker.
Tinker Tonker.
I have nothing to offer you in the way of information. I am merely here to cover the summoner being in play. But I didn't die, so maybe it's not a summoner game.
Or maybe it is a summoner game.
Hard to say.
Hard to say indeed.
And then you get to talk to seat number 12, who is claiming to just be the mayor. Yep, just the mayor. Good mayor. I'm good at being the mayor. I'd like us to get to the end of the game so I can help us win.
Okay. Well, I haven't found one of these powerful start knowing roles like noble or pixie yet, but we did have an empath who said they were a 0. That's useful.
So you go back to town, And immediately, seat two nominates seat three. And seat two says, hey, I am just going to out my role. I am the empath, and I have a ping on seat one and seat three. I have a ping on Emma and the player in seat three. So I'd like to kill off the player in seat three, if that's if to see what kind of pings I get further around the circle, just to see what's going on. Seat nine says, well, I was the librarian who saw you as the drunk, and I have been confirmed by an undertaker who came to talk to me today. So I'm afraid that you might just have false information. And then the player in seat eight says, they're not the empath. I'm the empath. I don't know what they're doing. Seat two is going to, has nominated seat three. Seat three says, I'm a pretty good role. I'd prefer not to die today. You know, I think seems like there's probably some drunk information or a double claim going on here. So I think maybe we shouldn't kill me off of this and maybe kill somebody else instead. Maybe one of the double claims or something. Anyway, yeah. So the votes are going to go around. We'll say that seat four votes on it. Seat five votes on it. Seat 7 doesn't vote on it, but of course seat 8 votes on it. Seat 10 doesn't vote on it. Seat 11 votes on it. Seat 12 doesn't vote on it. So do you want to vote on this, Emma?
This is on seat 3, right?
This is on seat 3, yeah.
Seat 8 voted on this.
Yep, seat 8 voted on this, yep.
Now I'll let this pass.
All right. Seat 2 does also vote on it. Seat 2 decides not to vote on it. Sorry, seat 2 decides not to vote on it because they're concerned about the fact that they might be drunk. So seat 3 is safe for today. Then seat 7 nominates seat 12. Seat 7 says, seat 12 has claimed a role pretty openly that is very likely to be like a demon bluff. They're a protective kind of role that, I mean, there's a lot of those kind of floating around right now. So I don't really think that there's that many protection roles in the game. So seat 7 nominates seat 12. Seat 12 says, look, everybody, I've told you all, I'm the mayor. I'm just good. Would you, just let me live and we'll get to the end of the game and it can be a mayor win. Maybe it's not even a summoner game. Someone died in the night. There could be a demon. So with that, seat 8 votes, seat 10 does not vote, seat 11 votes, seat 12 does not vote. Oh, sorry, this is you first. Yeah.
Nah, would you like to vote on seat 12?
No. Okie dokie. A bunch of people vote. Let's say seat 2 doesn't vote on it, but seat 3 does, seat 4 votes, seat 5 votes, seat 7 votes, and seat 11 votes. And seat 12 is put on the block and is executed and dies, saying, but I was just...
I didn't get to nominate seat 8.
Oh, sorry, did you want to nominate seat 8? Yeah, you can nominate seat 8.
No,
so
I just
five
think they're
on...
evil. It's fine. Oh. We can move on.
All right, that's fine. Well, seat 12 is executed and dies, and everybody goes to sleep, and you wake up the following morning, and seat 10 has died in the night. So I'm going to give you a couple more pieces of information, and then I'm going to ask you if you want to use your artist question today, Emma. Okay. You talk to seat 3, who tells you that they are the soldier, and that they have no information, of course, to share with you, but they do think that seat 2 might be evil, hidden behind a librarian drunk ping, like a false drunk ping. Seat 6 claims to be the monk, who, of course, is dead, so is irrelevant to this game at this point. Is a little grumpy about being dead the first night. Is saying things about it being a spy game, because, of course, when the monk dies in the night, it's obviously a spy game every time. And seat 11, you go talk to seat 11, and seat 11 says, yeah, I'm the Undertaker. I saw seat 9 as the librarian, and I saw seat 12 as the mayor, unfortunately. I've been voting a lot because I want to try to get people on the block so I can use my ability.
Did Seat5 gossip anything yesterday?
Seat5 didn't gossip yesterday.
Why didn't you gossip a little, Seat5?
Oh, yeah, I wasn't really sure. Some people told me that my day one gossip was not that good, and I didn't want to mess up again. So, yeah, I just didn't gossip. I figured maybe I could talk to some people today and figure out if there's a good gossip I can do.
And what is Seat8 claiming their empath number is?
Seat8 says their empath number is still a zero. Seat2 says, I'm the real empath. Seat8's not the real empath. I don't know what Seat8's doing. I don't know if they're a pixie. I don't know if they're evil. I don't know what's going on.
All right, so this is my current read of the game, which could be completely wrong. I think Seat11 is our Undertaker. I think Seat8 is our Summoner. I think Seat7 is our Saint. Seat5 is our Assassin. Seat4 is our Tinker. Seat3 is our Soldier. And Seat2 is our Drunk Pixie.
All right.
I think that's where we started. I could be wrong, and then all the dead players in the ASM are telling the truth.
All right,
now,
Emma.
I could be wrong. There's lots of reasons I could be wrong. But, like, that is what this information is screaming at me.
Well, would you use your artist question here, or would you try to save it another day? You're getting into risky territory now, because even if you're not executed, there's certainly a demon in play, and a demon is certainly going to start killing people.
I'm going to ask if there are currently, if I asked the storyteller today whether, based on the current characters in the Grimm, has the outsider count been modified?
Based on the current characters in the Grimm, has the outsider count been modified?
Yeah, so basically, I'll make it simpler. Are there currently exactly two outsiders in play, living or dead?
Okay, that is a very easy question to answer. Yes, there are currently two outsiders in play.
Interesting. So the question is, does that mean either the Saint or the Tinker is evil? Or did one of them get summoned away? But that's what I wanted to know.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. One of the Saint and the Tinker is evil, I think.
Okay.
Trunk's real because of the librarian paying. Unless it's starting Vortox, could it be a starting Vortox? No, if it's starting Vortox, she'd go down to be a spy, I guess. But then what is going on with Seat8 and Seat2? Yeah.
So, Emma, the question I want to ask you at this point in the game, because I think we've gone for a bit here. The question I want to ask you at this point in the game is this a game with a summoner in it or not?
My gut read is it was. I think it's a starting summoner assassin. I think Seat5 is specifically the assassin who stabbed someone after making a silly gossip to cover the summoner death and then forgot to gossip because they're the spent assassin didn't care anymore. I do think Seat8 seems like a summoner and Seat2 seems like a drunk pixie, which all jives with the information and suggests the summoning happened onto either Seat4 or Seat7.
All right. That is objectively a read of the game. Who would you kill today? You have control of who dies. Everyone's going to listen to you today. You can kill a player today. Who do you want to kill?
I want to kill the Tinker.
You want to kill the Tinker? All right.
If
the Tinker dies today, and in the night, Seat3 dies. Seat3 says, I'm actually the soldier. I'm not really sure what's going on here, but I definitely shouldn't have been able to die in the night. Seat5 goes, yeah, I didn't even gossip yesterday. All right, Emma. Do you still think your read is correct, or have you changed your mind?
Well, something's different, because Seat3 died in the night. That suggests there's a poisoner somewhere. There's a poisoner somewhere. It's either a poisoner or no. Could this be a spy poisoner Vortox King? Could be. Learning that Seed 8 and Seed 5 are definitely both evil is not changing.
Seed 8 and Seed 5 are definitely evil.
Yeah. I'm committed to this world.
All right, let's go with the Seed 8 and Seed 5 world. The Seed 8 and Seed 5 are definitely evil world. Does result in you killing two evil players, but does not result in you killing the demon.
Yeah, I didn't say I wanted to kill them. I just wanted to note they're both evil. We should execute one today because I don't know what the
Let's execute Seed 5, who seems to be outing evil very publicly.
Yeah.
And in the night, Seed 8 dies.
Oh, boo. Killing the wrong minions.
Seed 8 says, I was the pixie. Pretty sure Seed 2 is actually the drunk. And the librarian is the
evil player. You already told me that killing Seed 8 and 5 results in two evil players dying.
All right, Emma. So I'm gonna give you the grim. But first, where is the demon?
So. Is starting Vortox possible? Seed 2 is the drunk pixie.
Seed 2 says, no, I'm the empath.
Alright.
I've got a 0. But I'm pretty sure I'm the drunk. The librarian saw me or Seed 5 as the drunk, and Seed 5 is definitely evil.
I think it's either Seed 2 or Seed 7. It could be Seed 11 as a Undertaker, as an evil with a spy who has an Undertaker buff, but I think probably Seed 2 or Seed 7. My guess is Seed 7, but I don't know.
All right. Well, that's not correct. You were on the right track. Seed 11 is, in fact, a demon with a spy in play. Seed 11 is the Imp. This was a starting Imp Spy Poisoner game. And I will give you the grim. So you are, of course, the artist. You were sober all the time. You did ask a question, which it was true. There were only ever two outsiders in this game, one of which was the drunk empath in Seat 2. Seat 5, of course, was not drunk, and we'll get back to Seat 5 in a moment. Seat 3 was your soldier who was poison-killed when they were poisoned by the very effective poisoner in Seat 5. Who was claiming was badly claiming gossip because they just couldn't be bothered to bluff properly. Player in Seat 8 was the pixie, but they were poison sniped on day 1 and saw the empath, which was not in fact in play. Seat 6 was your monk, Seat 7 was the saint, Seat 9 was the librarian who saw a drunk between Seat 2 and Seat 5. Seat 10 was actually the farmer who was also poison killed. Quietly, Seat 11 was claiming to Seat 10 to have been turned into the farmer, but of course was not outing that to the rest of town. Seat 12 was the mayor, and Seat 4 was the spy claiming Tinker.
Okay.
Little bit tricky with the poisoned pixie and the drunk empath, but I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
So, all right, everybody. Well, shall we hop into the potion shop and say bye?
Yep.
All right, everybody. Well, that's our coverage of the Summoner, the most recent released character from the Pandemonium Institute, our friends over there. We hope you enjoyed it. It's good, pretty good, interesting minion. It's different. It's got some weird jinxes. Go look at the jinxes. They're weird. Emma, you got anything else you want to say?
Nope. Actually, no, I do. I forgot. Shilling season is back.
It's shilling season.
Tickets for Las Vegas Clock Tower Con. Magicians, gamblers, and drunk. A Las Vegas Clock Tower convention. Website, vegasclocktowercon.com. Are on sale. That's going to be in October. Like the 10th through the 12th, I think, are the dates. I don't know.
It's the
11th
through the
13th. 11th through the 13th. That's basically the 10th through the 12th. At the Rio Hotel in Las Vegas.
It's on the strip.
It's on the strip this year, which is exciting. The strip is the more better part of Las Vegas compared to downtown. And games are going to be happening in private rooms, which is super dope because private rooms mean less noise pollution, which mm-hmm. is the number one drawback of trying to fit a bunch of Clock Tower games in a small space at the same time.
It's true.
You spend half of each game yelling at the circle next to you to be quiet and them yelling back, no, you guys have to be quiet. So I'm super excited for Vegas in October.
We're going to be there.
We are going to be there unless something comes up, but we are planning to be there. It's exciting.
Emma, do you want to go? Do you want to go see Magicians with me? Because Penn and Teller are in residence at the Rio.
Ah, no, look, I have to return some videotapes during their show. At the Blockbuster
video rental store. Okay.
At the video rental store.
Wow.
But I'm sure you can have fun at the Penn and Teller show.
I'm sure I will.
So yeah, Vegas Clock Tower Con, those tickets are on sale. Come buy them, come hang out there. It'll be a blast. The Vegas people are great. We are big fans of them.
Let's see.
Something for you can't buy tickets for is, of course, that Clock Tower Con in DC is happening. Like, I think this episode's coming out in, like, I don't know, either exactly 2 weeks before Clock Tower Con DC or exactly 1 week before Clock Tower Con DC. We were a little delinquent in shooting it, so we might be delayed a week.
Yeah.
If this is 2 weeks or 1 week from Clock Tower Con DC, you can't buy tickets, but you should come hang out. There's going to be a bunch of fun stuff there. I'll be storytelling some games. I'll be playing some games. Hanging out with people. There's going to be panels. We're doing a panel. It's called Grim Scenarios. You may have heard of it.
It's called Grim Scenarios, like, the panel.
It's going to be like this, but different.
There's audience participation.
Yeah, there's definitely audience participation that we've figured out and planned.
100%.
But, you know, it's going to be a blast. Clock Tower Con DC was a blast last year. It's going to be a blast again this year. We're excited. You're excited. The Grim Scenarios live show is sold out, but maybe tickets will open up. I don't know. Maybe people will be drunk or not show up and there'll be spaces at the door. Who knows?
Just line up outside. You can get in.
Yeah, you may get to see it even if you haven't gotten a ticket. It's going to be a blast, though. Come play Clock Tower. Come watch the live show. Come watch other live shows. I'll be going to the Script Notes and Formidable Plots panel unless something changes, which are both exciting.
Our friends.
There's some other really awesome panels going on all week. I'll be going to the TPI live stream panel. Yay. Which does have a few tickets left. We sold out before the TPI live stream panel.
Yeah, we did. So oh, baby.
I'm on both, though, so I don't know if I'm supposed to be proud of myself or beating myself or not.
I'm doing an advanced storytelling panel with Capelli, which should be a panel that objectively happens.
In any case, that's going to be awesome. Yeah, Shilling Hour season. It's back on the plate, friends. Tons of fun. See you soon, friends.
May your scenarios be grim.